You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I thought this morning it would be kind of fun for us to look at daily devotionals, those books or emails or websites that you can turn to every day to kind of help you with your prayer. During Lent, we have this kind of threefold way of growing in our faith through prayer, through fasting, and through almsgiving. And I think we kind of understand a little bit of what fasting means. It means not to eat food, or you can fast from something you enjoy. People are fasting from social media, which makes me sad because I think that's the time we need to be there the most. When people are out searching for their faith, there's this extra bit of grace during this time. And I just feel like there's such an outpouring of people looking to grow in their faith, and they're looking to have questions answered. And this is the time to be on social media, sharing your faith and good stuff. But that's just me. That's my little soapbox. You go to reconciledtoyou.com and search. Use this snazzy little search engine and put in social media. You can read my whole soapbox on that and some ideas for how you can, during Lent, use social media to really help share your faith. There's also facing from things that you enjoy. I give up television for Lent. And let me tell you, that's worked out really well for me because as I've decided and discovered this year that Lent is to Catholic ministry what Christmas is to retail. It's a crazy busy time. There's retreats and presentations and a lot of writing to do. And of course I should, you know, I knew some of these deadlines were coming, but I'm not really good at, you know, before the deadline kind of girl. I'm at the deadline kind of girl, and in one case, beyond the deadline, but we're getting there. And I can't imagine how I would have gotten any of this done had I been watching television for the last 5 days since Ash Wednesday. I do, however, go with the belief that Sunday is a special holy day. It's a solemnity. I know I'm saying that wrong, but, you know, it's the Lord's Day. It's a Sunday. And if you count from Ash Wednesday to Easter, you'll see there's way more than 40 days. Well, guess what? If you subtract the Sundays, there you go. Sundays are days that you, whatever you've given up, if you choose to, because some people want to go the whole time of Lent, and those are my heroes. Me, I'm not so good at it. So come Sunday, I watch television because that's what I give up for Lent. That's what I fast from. But in the past, I have DVR'd all my favorite shows. And this year I thought, that's wrong. If you DVR them all, like, what are you really missing out on? Not that I can catch up on how many hours a week that I watch in the few hours I had on Sunday to watch. But so I gave myself only 3 shows that I could DVR. Shark Tank is one of them. Just love that stupid show. And yesterday I watched just a little bit. I didn't actually even watch that much because I had, you know, things to do, places to be. But this fasting is really to learn discipline, to kind of teach your body. That's what discipline means. It means to teach. It's a derivative of disciple, kind of fun stuff, right? So to teach, and we're going to teach our bodies how to rely on God. We're going to teach ourselves how to be better stewards of our time, of our money. We're fasting from going out to eat and only going out on Sundays. We are, really working this Lent to become better versions of ourselves, as Matthew Kelly calls it. He totally stole that line. It's like such a great way of explaining what you're trying to do in your relationship with Christ is to become a better you, to become who God created you to be. And another way is through prayer. Oh, almsgiving, we kind of understand that's through charity, through giving of our time and our treasure and our talent. But there's also this prayer component that maybe you're good at, maybe you're not, maybe you'd like to be better at it. Or maybe you've just prayed the same stuff for the last few years and you'd like some fresh some fresh material. So I have in front of me on my desk this morning kind of plethora of the stuff that I read, and we'll go deeper into them. I have the CatholicMom.com Daily Gospel Reflection, which just happens to be today, me. It's my son's 18th birthday. Happy birthday, Adam. And to help me remember which days are mine, since I have a choice of when I write, I picked my kids' birthdays. It's just easier that way for me to know. Plus, it spreads them out pretty good. January, March, December. So I think I got to write three this year. In the past, I've written one for every month. And I've written a few different times, like seven or more. But this year, it's only three. And you know what? That's good. Because that gives other people opportunity to share how God is working in their life. And you know, to get to hear different voices. And I've really enjoyed reading the gospel reflections every day. What they did different this year is they added this component where you could sign up for a daily email of the devotionals, and it reminds you that they're there and you can click on them and go over and read them. So we're going to look at the Catholic Mom Gospel Reflections. Yeah, my brain just went completely blank. The Gospel Reflections over on Catholic Mom. We're also going to look at the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. And another book that I do day by day from the Holy Souls in Purgatory, 365 Reflections from Susan Tassone. I've had Susan on. We've talked about this book before. I'm on my second year of doing it. I have a new one now from Catholic Book Publishing. I think that's the name of the company. I'll make sure when we talk about it. Yes, Catholic Book Publishing. They're out of New Jersey. It's this cute little purple. I fell in love with it because I saw it on Facebook. It's a cute little purple book, small, so it fits in your purse or your glove compartment or your desk. And it has a butterfly on it. So I was kind of attracted to it because I love butterflies. I love purple. And they were very gracious because I said how much I loved it. And you know, being a blogger and a radio show host, you get just a little bit of perks here and there. And one of them is that publishers will send you free books. I didn't ask for it, but they very graciously sent it to me. So I'm going to look at the March 6th reflection for most of these today. And so I have that for to look at. What else do I have? Ooh, a new one that I just got from Loyola Press called Daily Inspirations for Women, Seasons of a Woman's Life. And there's four authors, including one of my favorite writers ever, Vanita. I'm probably saying this completely wrong. Oh, shock, shock. Allison can't say something. Vanita. Hampton Wright. She's one of my absolute favorite writers. I read all her books on how to be a writer. So I want to share a reflection from hers in there. I also am going to be looking at Walk in Her Sandals because right now we're doing the daily Lenten challenge, this daily Lenten book club, I should say, on Walk in Her Sandals, Ave Maria Press, Wine, Women, and the New Evangelization. And over on Facebook, we have our group, Wine Lenten Book Club. If you search that, ask to join. It's not too late. You can catch right up. And every day we have a little quote from the book and we're having a discussion online. It's so nice if you're someplace where you don't have a Catholic community, to be able to have virtual community is pretty awesome. It's wicked awesome. And this group has been fantastic. They're very chatty. They're very open. They're beautiful. If you're giving up Facebook or you're not on Facebook, you can also join the conversation for the book, Walk in Her Sandals, the Lenten Book Club for Women in the New Evangelization, Wine. You can go to CatholicVineyard.com. And you can, on the homepage, there's a little box that has a picture with Walk in Her Sandals. And then it says Lenten Book Club. Just click on the picture and you can sign up for the daily emails that will include the pictures with the quote that I've been feverishly putting together. Yes, on top of everything else I've been doing. I've also been blessed to be asked by Kelly Walquist to facilitate the Walk in Her Sandals Wine Lenten Book Club. So I've been making these, you know, this is so much fun. It's very artistic for me. This outlet I don't get very often. To create these images with the text overlay on them, with the quotes from the book, and to share them. And, you know, if you see them out there, please continue to share them. And then we're having discussions around it. And then yesterday, the Sunday reflection on Walk in Our Sandals, the Lenten book club, was me. And I get to write all of these because Walk in Our Sandals has 10 authors. Kelly thought with all of those voices being heard that the reflection on the website should be one voice. And I'm still in awe that she chose me. Yesterday I talked about crosses. When our crosses are our size, and when they're not our size, because lo and behold, they're not our cross. As a person who worries a lot, I also tend to pick up crosses that aren't mine, that aren't intended for me, or perhaps they will be my cross, but we haven't quite got there yet, and I'm already carrying it. So I talk about that. Again, CatholicVineyard.com. You can find the Lenten Book Club and click over on that. And the last thing I want to share when we come back from these messages is my new little care note. Abbey Press is this small publication in Indiana, and they do care notes, which are just short little pamphlets. You'll probably see them at the back of churches. And many churches have these set up at the back of their congregation, where there's notes on parenting, different things that children go through, teenage things, grieving, and they're just little encouragements in whatever you're going through. And I was asked not too long ago to write one called Being a Good Enough Parent. And again, from Abbey Press, Care Notes, when we come back, I'll share about what being a good enough parent was about. And these also can be used as daily devotionals. They're very inexpensive. And if you go to abbeypress.com, you can find mine and many more. You can actually go to carenotes.com as well. Much more to share with you this morning about devotionals. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Decided today to talk about daily devotionals or devotional books. I have a plethora of them. I absolutely love them. Spiritual reading is how I connect with God through His Word, of course, through Scripture, but also through writings of other people and how they connect with God. And, you know, the days that I can't pray, I really find their words encouraging. They help me to pray. I love the prayers that I learned growing up, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, and I use those quite often. But you know, sometimes in your morning prayer, your evening prayer, whenever it is you find time, today I'm going to go to adoration and pray in there. And I love to have these books with me. So I'm going to share a few of them with you. The first I want to share is Being a Good Enough Parent. It's my care note out from Abbey Press. You can go to carenotes.com and purchase one. Or if you're going to be any of my events coming up in Lent, you know I will have some with me. Let me tell you what a care note is. Try this again, Allison. Over 400 helpful topics for yourself, your church, your healthcare facility, or your bereavement, or other support groups or organizations. Like I said, they have them on all kinds of different topics, on parenting, on all the things that kids go through and teenagers go through. So mine's called Being a Good Enough Parent. And I start with the birth of my son, Ian, who came 2 months early on the Immaculate Conception. And I remember saying to the nurse as I'm going into premature labor, and I had way more things to worry about than this, but I was fixated because I had just kind of come back to the faith in a very powerful way. And this was my first time that I was going to go to a holy day of obligation. Before that, I'd gone Sundays, but I'd never gone on the other days that the Lord calls us to celebrate with Him in Mass. And this was the Immaculate Conception, December 8th. And I was so proud that we were finally going to go to Mass, and I'm you know, were prepping me, and I should have been worried about far more. Not that going to mass is not important, but this, it was kind of funny that I was so fixated on that I couldn't have the baby because, well, I hadn't been to mass yet. And she very sweetly touched me on the shoulder and she said, God's going to understand with this one. So there I went and had this little baby way earlier, 2 months early. Praise the Lord. He was 5 pounds within 2 weeks. By Christmas, he was home. We were so blessed. But you don't get a book when you, like a manual with a kid when they're born. I mean, you get like what to expect the first years and all of those what to expect books and Dr. Spock and Dr. Ray Gurundi, who's one of my favorite, and I actually quote him in this. But your child, your specific child, doesn't come with an instruction manual. You got to kind of figure things out. And you make mistakes. I made lots of mistakes. Lots and lots of mistakes. So I talk about, you know, just dealing with those mistakes and trying to be not so hard on myself and just know that I did the best that I could. I turned to God as much as I could. And in the early years, I didn't turn to God, even though we had, you know, I was back in church. I wasn't really participating in a relationship with Christ. And I was still kind of trying to navigate certain things on my own. You know, I thought I could only turn to God in big things, but in the day-to-day, everyday life, like, he was too busy. Like, I didn't want to bother God. And that's silly, because he wants every part of your every moment. I mean, he created you out of love and he loves you to the end, and he wants you to be in constant communication with him. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing, and prayer is just merely a conversation with God. So this care note, being a good enough parent, it talks about the newness of having a child. I quote St. Francis de Sales, which is one of my favorite from The Devout Life. It says, have patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. Do not lose courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about remedying them. Every day begin the task anew. It's one of my favorite quotes. Then we kind of talk about the toddlerhood and elementary years, where, you know, you're both kind of figuring out life together. And my son had really horrible temper tantrums. He struggled probably from the immaturity with, you know, ADHD some kind of behavior disordery thing. He was just really combative. It was difficult. He was a strong-willed child, as they say. So we had to kind of navigate through that. And now he's a young adult, and I look back at things that I wish I had done differently. And, you know, I had my own struggles with my relationship with my mother. And I had this amazing aha moment while I was writing this, being a good enough parent, that if my mother would just apologize for some of the things that she did or failed to do, like how far that would go. But yet it's never been a barrier to my loving her, to my forgiving her, to my not, you know, to my just moving forward in my life. Like, I would love to have an apology, but it wasn't necessary for me to heal, to become a fuller human being, to have a relationship with Christ. And I forgive her. I love her. I know she did the best she could. But the aha moment came with the fact that I did apologize to my son, Ian. I have sat with him and said, listen, I know I could have done this better. Maybe I should have gotten you help for certain things sooner. You know, I know that I went through a period where I was very angry and needed to get my own help and my own self in order. And before I've really had a relationship with Christ, I struggled with anger. I struggled with insecurity and self-centeredness and all of these things that really made me a pretty crappy mom at times. But I kind of hoped and prayed that I had done enough to offset the crappy momness with the love I had for him and erring on the side of love and being very protective, and which he found, you know, not such a great trait, being a helicopter mom. But I just loved him and hoped that that love would be enough. And just realizing that if, you know, I loved my mom without the apology, I would just pray and hope that my apology brought it to a whole new level. And I actually quote Dr. Gurundi from his new book, Advice Worth Ignoring, How Turning Tuning Out the Experts Can Make You a Better Parent. This is out from Servant Books, brand new. Sarah Reinhart and I talked about it a few weeks ago. Such a great book. And he says, God made children resilient, able to withstand, thrive even when raised by mistake. When raised by mistake-prone adults. Isn't that great? And my poor children can definitely say that they were raised by mistake-prone adults. So being a good enough parent, Care Note, go to carenotes.com, Abbey Press. So honored to have been asked to write that. And now it's out, so I'll be sharing it at my events. And you can purchase it again on Abbey Press's website. The other thing I'm doing right now... you know what? I'm going to actually hold off on Walk With Her Sandals because I want to give that a whole segment because I have a lot to share with you. Let me turn now. Speaking of being a mom, this seems like a better segue to today's gospel is Matthew 25, 31 through 40, 31 through 46. And my reflection on this is... I'm just going to read it to you. One of the privileges I'm bestowed on by my parish is to bring Eucharist to the homebound. As an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, I'm blessed to not only share Jesus, but also be the visible church to those no longer able to attend Mass. As you know, I go and visit on Tuesdays two beautiful women in their 90s. I used to visit one of them and her husband, but sadly, Arthur passed away, so please keep him in your prayers. But I go to visit them and I bring them communion because a few years ago we were really struggling financially and I turned to our Blessed Mother's mother, Saint Anne, and asked for her intercession. She blessed us, and actually even before she had blessed us, I'd already prayed and asked, you know, how could I thank her for her intercession? And she put on my heart that I needed to be getting back to being a Eucharistic minister and giving out communion. So I go on to say, the gift has come with opportunities of immense joy as well as some deep regrets. As someone who battles anxiety, this calling of service can be difficult, especially when called to unfamiliar or particularly bereaved situation. Shortly before my into my commission, I was asked to visit a gentleman who was in his final days. My anxiety over visiting a dying man, something I had never done before, kept me from fulfilling this obligation. He died the next day without me ever bringing him communion. God was offering me this great gift to be light of Christ and to the family during this time, and I allowed my fears to dissuade me from going where he had called. I wasn't strong enough to go and pray with him and bring Jesus to him. I allowed my anxieties to dictate my behavior instead of relying on God's infinite mercy. What I want to share before we go to break is I just drove by this man's house yesterday, not remembering that this was today's gospel reflection because I wrote it so long ago. And as I drove by the man's house, which I go by almost daily, I thought, I prayed for him. I pray for his soul every time I go by now. And I thought, if I had actually gone that day and fulfilled my obligation, would I then feel this desire, like this this necessity to pray for him every time I go by? It's kind of my way of making up for not doing what God had asked me to do. And it really reminded me that the Lord does truly use all situations for good for those who love him. I may have made a mistake and not done what I was called to do, but the Lord has made good for it as I pray for Mr. Downey every time I drive past. We come back, I have some more devotionals to share with you. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am talking about devotionals today, those books that help us to enter into prayer daily. And I have quite a few of them and I love them. I have them all in a basket on my coffee table near my prayer corner, my prayer couch corner. And some days I do all of them. Some days I do one of them. And quite honestly, some days I do none of them. Today, I wanted just to share with some of my favorites with you. And I was talking also about websites. You can go to catholicmom.com, sign up for the daily devotional email. You can also go to Women and the New Evangelization, catholicvineyard.com, and you can sign up for the Lenten daily email that I just happen to be putting together. Sorry about my voice. I have no idea. You know, sometimes you're just quiet all day and then it's time to talk and, well, it doesn't want to cooperate. So catholicvineyard.com, if you're looking for a great daily devotional, it's very simple. It'll come as just an image with a quote from Walk in Her Sandals, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment. And a question, just one question to ponder. And you can either join in the conversation. You can just read it in your email and just spend it with God. You can click over to catholicvineyard.com, the Lenten book club, and you can join the conversation happening over there. Please do me a favor and keep this woman, Lisa, in your prayer. She posted on the comments that she was just diagnosed 2 days ago with breast cancer, and I've vowed to hold her in my prayers, and I'd love for you to lift her as well. She already has an incredible attitude, as she shared that she kind of always knew this cross would be hers, and now it's here. And the Lord, during praying the rosary, just gave her such this message of hope and strength, saying, you know, that she knew it was coming, and he said, I'm here with you, you're not alone, we're going to get through this. And it really was quite remarkable that she had the strength to share that just 2 days into learning this devastating news. And just keep Lisa in your prayers, please. Just help me, because the scriptures say, where two or more of you, you know, gather in my name, but two or more of you pray together, you know, I'm in your midst. So I really want us to be there and bring Lisa into God's midst. And I'm sure obviously he's already made it very clear to her that she is in his very capable, loving, and sturdy, strong hands. I was talking about the Catholic Mom Gospel Reflection, which March 6th just happens to be mine. And the other place that I'm very blessed to have written for Catholic Mom in daily devotionals was the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, a book of daily reflections out from Ave Maria Press. This was edited by our friends Lisa Hendy, who I got to be roommates with when I was in Minnesota last week, and Sarah Reinhart, who of course joins us each week. She'll be here on Monday to discuss, I have no idea what, but something good, because she's always fun to have around. So the March 6th reflection in the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion is, take a penny walk. Perfect love of God means the complete union of our will with God's. And that's St. Alphonsus de Liguori. That's the quote that starts today's reflection. The month of March is a good time for a penny walk. First, you'll have to put on your walking shoes. Then you'll need to find a shiny penny. All set? Let's go outside. Walk to the nearest corner, flip the penny, and see which side lands up. If it's tail, make a left. If it's heads, make a right. Keep walking to the next corner, and when you get there, flip the coin again to find out which way to turn. Continue this manner, flipping the penny at every corner and following its direction. Now you're on a penny walk. Isn't that clever? I've never heard of such a thing. How fun. A penny walk. Who's the author of this one? Celeste B-E-H-E. No idea how you say that, but Celeste, I love this idea. A penny walk is good therapy for an individual with controlling tendencies, because it can help to subdue that person's compulsion to plan her and everyone else's next move. Going on a penny walk depends that a person let go of her own will and turn her steps in the direction that she may not have wanted to go. Walking with God, Celeste continues, requires resignation too. Submitting to the divine will means allowing God to direct your footsteps along the path he's chosen for you. A beautiful expression of trust in God's will can be found in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, where we pray that we should, with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And that's a quote from the Divine Mercy. Complete resignation, Celeste concludes, to God's will is difficult, but it's a certain path to sanctity. And then it ends with a prayer and a question to ponder. Are you ready to follow the GPS, God's perfect strategy? Today was a good one to pick. I love that. Very sweet. Very, very sweet. Take a penny walk. This is the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. Also, what I'm doing this month is, of course, during Lent, walk in her sandals, experiencing Christ's passion through the eyes of women, also from Ave Maria Press, putting out some good stuff over there. Been asked by Kelly Walquist, the founder of Wine Women in the New Evangelization, to run the Lenten Book Club. We're having it over on CatholicVineyard.com, like I just said, and we're also having a virtual book club on Facebook if you've not given it up for Lent, or if you're over there or just want to join just to do the Lenten Book Club. No one needs to know you're on Facebook, but us, your new friends, you can search Wine Lenten Book Club, and you'll find it's got a little wine glass, and you can click right on that, and we'll let you into the group. And every day we're posting a meme, a graphic that has a quote from Walk in Her Sandals. Today we're looking at Sarah Chrismeyer's Enter the Scriptures for Palm Sunday. Sarah is the queen of the aha moment of Scripture, the absolute queen of it. I've never read anybody's work that is so good at connecting Scripture, in enlightening my heart with the aha moments, how she connects the Old and the New Testament. She's so good at it because she's had a lot of practice at it. Not only is she a convert to the faith, but she also is the co-creator of Ascension Press's The Great Adventure Bible Timeline series from Jeff Cavins and Sarah Chrismeyer. It's so fantastic. I've just been researching it. I've listened to Sarah. I was very blessed to spend that weekend in Minnesota, getting to know Sarah, listening to her talk about the Bible timeline, and just getting very excited. I've asked my pastor if we could do it. Hopefully he will approve that request and we will be diving into it, because what she's taught me in just this little time of reading her work and speaking with her and watching and going to comeintotheword.com, her website, is that it's okay and it's beautiful to interact with the Gospels and the scriptures with you and God and how He inspires you, but how much richer, how much deeper. And really, one of the beauties of the Catholic Church is to also know the teaching behind that scripture verse, so that when you're reading it, the Lord can talk to you even in a more profound way, because you know its connection to the Old Testament. You know it's what the context of the scripture is and how much more the Lord has to say in that. It's like it's the living word of God. It is dynamic. It is ever it doesn't change. Change, but our understanding of it can continue to evolve. I have no other book on my shelf that I can pick up and read the same line 5 days in a row and have the Lord inspire me in five different ways of what He's trying to help me grow in. But when you know that Scripture is even better from its context and its tradition and how it was written to those who first read it, it's a whole new world. And Sarah has me so excited. Sarah Chrismeyer has me so excited that I'm really hoping this summer to do the 8 weeks section series, The Great Adventure, kind of get us prepared and then go into the full 24-week program that they have as we go into the fall. That's my hope. That's my prayer. If you are doing walk in her sandals with us, it is like a devotional. It's a Bible study. It's also a book club, but it is a devotional because each day it's broken into different segments, and each day you can read just one piece of it. We over on Facebook and also on CatholicVineyard.com, we're looking at one section at a time. There's entering the scripture, there's walk in her sandals, the fiction book. Then comes after that the gift of receptivity, the gift of womanhood that Pat Gohn talks about. Receptivity is this first week. Then there's a reflection. The reflection this week happens to be Lisa Handy. Find her everywhere, right? Lexio Divina, which is the spiritual reading for Palm Sunday, is the one for this first week. And that's what I actually reflected on my Sunday reflection. If you go to CatholicVineyard.com and you go to that Lenten book club, I have a reflection there. You can also find it on A Seeking Heart on Facebook. And you know, if you can't find things, you can always send me a message, Allison@BreadboxMedia.com. And then discussion questions, and ends with Walk in the New Evangelization from Kelly Walquist, again, the editor of this book. So this is another great devotional, is to take one of these scriptural reading books from Ave. We've done so many of them. The Grace of Yes, Blessed Are You, from Melanie Rigney, and just read a piece of it each day as your devotional. Got a few more to share with you when we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And we're looking today at daily devotionals, these little books that you can pick up to help you in your prayer life since it's Lent. I thought this was a good topic for today to help anyone who's really looking for a way to increase their prayer during Lent. And I've talked about several so far, and I have three left that I'm going to dive into right now. The first is from Catholic Book Publishing Corporation, and it is written by Father John Cator. Oh, I'm so sorry, Father. And it's Uplifting Thoughts for Every Day, Minute Meditations for Every Day, containing a scripture reading, a reflection, and a prayer. That seems to be the going rate right now of how people create these things. We create our reflections. They all seem to be short and sweet and to the point, something that you can read in just a few minutes if that's all that you have, usually including some kind of saint quote or scripture quote, a reflection, and a prayer. These are super, super short. Like, this book is very small. It can fit your purse or your desk drawer or your glove compartment or your back pocket if you're going into adoration and you just want to grab one little thing to bring with you. I found them thought-provoking. I liked the book, the way the book looks with the black writing and the red writing. It reminds me so much of the early prayer books that my grandmother would have, and she would share with me as a kind of that old-fashioned feel to it. So I'm just read to you from March 6th, because that's today's date. It's my son's 18th birthday, so I thought I'd celebrate today by reading all the March 6th ones. It starts with Acts 20. Keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And the heading of this reflection is take care of yourself. First, you may take care of yourself. First, you must take care of yourself. Keep in mind, free of toxic thinking, don't put yourself down. Then think of others and enjoy the blessing of being a cheerful giver. To love yourself is to open your heart to the needs of others. And I just spoke just last week in this Wine Lenten book club about how it's not prideful to be grateful for the gifts that God has given you and to be joyful in who you are and who God has created you to be. And it's okay to share those gifts. And even, you know, you don't have to tell everybody, "Hey, God gave me this great gift of writing or speaking or baking or whatever it is the Lord has given you to do well. But you don't need to hide it either. And when somebody tells you, like, oh, I just love the way you sing, or I love the way that you take care of me if you're a doctor, or I love the way you teach my child if you're a teacher, we just respond, thank you, because we know those come from God. We don't need to say, oh, I just know nothing, or, you know, don't do that, because one, it aggrieves God who's given you this great gift. And two, it can almost come off as a false humility, though I know you're probably very humble about it. And you do feel like, oh, I didn't do anything special, or I don't feel very special. But acknowledge that if somebody is telling you what you're doing is good, then it is. And it comes from God. And we can know the gifts that we have. Because one of the questions I asked on the Lenten book club is to share what gift you have. And a few women are like, I don't think I have any gifts. And I just shared back with them that if you're unsure of your gifts, then pay attention to what people affirm you in, because that's going to help you see what you're good at. If someone's always telling you, oh, can you make those chocolate chip cookies for our party next week? Well, that says that that's what you're good at. You are a great baker, or you make those special cookies with such love that people look forward to them and they bless people. Maybe you're good at knitting, or you sew and make things for, like, the baptismal things. I love, you know, those little things that we put over the child at baptism, the little white things, or even adults, they get bigger ones. But somebody had to make those, and maybe nobody receiving them ever knows where they come from, but your pastor knows you did it, or you know you've done it, and it's a great way of sharing your gift. So when you're said thank you, when someone tells you you've done something good, you just say thank you back, whatever that is. And then the prayer to end this one is, dear God, I know that generosity is a sign of gratitude. Help me to be grateful. The other one I just want to quickly is Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. This is out from our Sunday visitor, Susan Tassone. It's the one that I talked about last year, and I'll link to the show notes, my interview with Susan Tassone. And every day it has a quote from the Bible and then a teaching, either a quote from a saint or just some fascinating story about this devotion to the holy souls, and then a reflection, and it ends with eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. And I have gone and written in pencil in the corners of the book the name. I went through one whole year, all the names of people who had died that year, or I went on Facebook and I asked for people to give me people to pray for. Like, who do you need? Everybody needs prayer. Even if it's the nicest person you ever met and you're pretty sure, like, they must be in heaven. We never know for sure. And so we're called to pray for souls. We're called to pray for those who have passed away. And it's such a beautiful devotion, as Susan always tells me when she sends emails now and then, that you're building up an army of intercessors. They're so grateful for your prayers. They then intercede for you and they help you. It also is, when it's your turn to face judgment, many of the saints have told us that we now have an army there of intercessors at that moment. You know, my whole plan, Troy, honestly, is just to create a block, a wall of just saints, these holy souls who, once you enter heaven, you become a saint, named or unnamed. You know, sometimes we know the saints who are there through their miracles and through the churches naming them, canonizing them, but sometimes we don't. Put anybody in heaven is a saint. So I'm kind of hoping that through my daily prayer for these holy souls, that I have somehow, through my prayers and my sacrifices and my fastings, that the Lord has accepted these to bring them into heaven with him. And that I have this great posse waiting for me that will, I tease, I want them to create a wall and I can just slip past them all, slip past St. Peter and get right in. But I do hope that they do pray for me. I truly believe with my whole heart, they pray for me every day, and that they're helping me in this journey here on earth to do the best that I can, to become closer to God, to make better choices, to live a life of a grace trifecta of prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And one of the ways is to start every day. And I'm going to be honest, some days I always get to each day, but sometimes it's a couple of days I've missed. And that praying for them is somehow, you know, making a difference. And we all want to make a difference in the world. I want to make a difference in this world and the world to come. And I really feel that the Lord put this on my heart for a reason. And it's a beautiful book, Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, our Sunday visitor. And Susan Tassone was a hoot. She talked a mile a minute. I think I talk fast. This woman out-talked me by a mile, but it's just from her enthusiasm. She's such a desire to teach about the faith and to have more people with this devotion to pray for the dearly departed. The last book I want to look at is one brand new, just received, Daily Inspiration for Women, Seasons of a Woman's Life, and it's spring, summer, winter, and autumn and winter. It's got four authors, all with names I am clearly not going to get correct, but I'll do my best. Ginny Kubitz-Moyer, Jessica Mesman Griffith, again, Vanita Hampton-Bright, and Margaret Silf. And I'm so sorry if I did any of those incorrectly. You can go to Loyola Press, loyolapress.com, and learn more about them, learn more about this book, Daily Inspiration. I like how they use that word. Daily Inspiration for Women, Seasons in a Woman's Life. And on March 6th, we have a quote to start us off. Pray as you can, not as you can't. And that's from John Chapman. Pray as you can, not as you can't. That's pretty profound. And then they don't really say who reflection is who, so I'll just read this quick. Sometimes we fear that our prayers are not up to snuff. As if you need to do this prayer at this time of the day with these words and this posture. There's certainly value in trying various forms of prayer to find what resonates, but feeling the need to follow a certain practice can make prayer feel more like an obligation than a conversation. As a teacher, I recognize that individual students learn in different ways. Similarly, we individuals pray best in different ways. Whatever form of prayer speaks to you, relish it and know that God loves to engage with you in the way that makes you feel most fully alive. Spend a few minutes thinking about what you do that makes you feel the most in tune with God. Find a time to do it today, mindful of the presence of the Creator. So these are just a few of the devotionals that I love, that I am, like I said, the new one, Daily Inspiration for Women. The minute I saw it, I had to have it. I'm so grateful that Loyola Press sent it to me to review and to share with you. I will hopefully have all the links up very shortly. And we have some guests this week that I'm excited to share with you, one being Lydia, whose last name, oh my gosh, it just, Borgia, B-O-R-G-A. I have to figure out how to say that before she comes on, but I know you're going to love her flourish in something website. Oh my gosh, this is a moment I wish I could rewind and delete, but I promise when I have her here, I'll have a flourish in hope. I remembered. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.